Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
Lord is risen indeed! Hallelujah!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Amos. On that day, I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, in order that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this. The time is surely coming, says the Lord, when the one who plows shall overtake the one who reaps, and the treader of grapes the one who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall never again be plucked up out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I think that we can have heaven above. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life. Not for
praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. I didn't know that was my cue. There's a lot I don't know, but I do know that I'm honored to be here. And before we pray together, let me just tell you what joy it is to be here in the place where no matter how many years I served in Connecticut, coming back here is always a joy, because Rolf and I were married here a long, long time ago, and it has always held a treasured place in our hearts. And to add to that, I see many friends here, and to add to that, I am honored to count Kate among my precious friends. So with all that said, would you join me in a prayer? My Lord, for Kate as she preaches far away in Oregon, and for all of us here, may only your word be spoken, my Lord, and only your word be heard. Amen. 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 Well, as you know by now, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and on this Good Shepherd Sunday, in churches who follow the lectionary, we did always in our church, we hear this wonderful Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. Today is also Mother's Day. They seldom coincide, but they did on this Sunday. And just as each time I've read John 10, there's something new in it that I hadn't seen before, so the lens of Mother's Day gave me some insight into what Jesus was saying that I'd love to share with you. I hope you agree. Maybe you've already talked about this. I don't know. But let's share those things. What I want to do is start, though, with a story that's neither from John nor from a Mother's Day story. It has to do with an experience of our son. I hope you can follow as I try to connect the dots. Our son's name is Christopher, and his shortened name is Tiff. Well, when Tiff was in college, he felt that he was really meant to be a surgeon, but he wasn't confident enough to plunge into pre-med studies. So he said, if only I could get a summer job that would allow me to shadow with a surgeon or get behind the scenes in a hospital somewhere, somehow, then I think I would know better. Well, we called some doctor friends, and as you can imagine, that's not the typical thing in American hospitals. The best he could be was a male version of a candy striper, and he said, well, no, that wouldn't really help him. So I said, well, honey, how about I call some of my medical missionary friends around the world? He said, Mom, you're a missionary, I am not. Please, that's not for me. I want to just be a surgeon, not a missionary. Well, a mother knows when to stop talking, right? So I said, well, okay, sweetie, I didn't say you're never going to, the only missionaries do that, but anyhow, I didn't do that. So to make a very long story very short, he found a job through a friend who'd worked in Africa under a Canadian doctor the year before, and sure enough, that Canadian doctor, Dr. Prothero, sent a letter of invitation to him, and our whole household was thrilled that he got this summer job for the summer that was ahead. It was all very good news until I saw the letterhead on the letter. It was bad news and good news. It was good news for this mother who was worried about him, but bad news for the son, because here's what the letterhead said. Dr. John Prothero, EZ-34-16, Tebelong, Lesotho, Africa. That may not be disturbing to you, but to our son, I said, honey, do you know what EZ-34-16 is? He said, that's the address of the hospital. I said, no, I don't think so, honey. I think it's a mission hospital. I think Dr. Prothero is a missionary. Oh, he said, no, it's the address. I said, no, honey, I think it's scripture. He said, no, I can tell, it's the address. I said, well, how about we just look it up in the Bible and be sure? So we turned to Ezekiel 34:16, and you know exactly what it said, those of you who had that knowing laugh when he thought it was an address. It's an entire chapter about God's promise to shepherd his people with all his power and all his love, never to leave them, ever. Imagine what this was like to the Jews through the centuries as the pagan gods and goddesses around them had no qualities like this, no devotion to the people to be their shepherd. Imagine how they cherished it through the years and the psalms that grew out of this and the praise and the prayers and the promise, the hope. But when we turn to verse 16, just to be sure that he knew what this address was, God says these particular words, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I said, honey, this is Dr. Prothero's motto. This is what he's there for. And you don't have to become a missionary, but you must honor that if you're going to be privileged enough to work under him. And he promised to do that. He did understand. And he went off, and he came back ebullient. He had done surgery. He had stitched up on people all summer. But there was more as we sort of drilled down, Rolf and I, to hear about the rest of the summer. We heard more and more. Oh, my, I won't tell you all that. But at the very end, I said, what really struck you? What stood out the most in this great experience that you've had? He thought for just a second. And he said, you know, it was Mrs. Prothero. I said, oh. He said, yes, do you know what she did? I said, no, I don't. I don't have any idea. What did she do? He said, she saved up all the family's rations for 1 month. He reminded me that the rations were dropped in by these little tiny airplanes quarterly for these this hospital staff and these missionaries. She had saved up her rations for the month in this wilderness part of Africa where the diet is yams. She saved up her rations and made him a pizza. Imagine that. Now back to John's gospel and Jesus. Can you follow with me? When Jesus said to his disciples and those standing around him, some of whom were the very Pharisees that were after him because he had just healed a blind man just moments before, and they'd gotten after him and even gotten after the blind man, didn't like all that. When he was speaking to them and said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. When he said that, he wasn't only using the I am as he did in other I ams. I am the vine, I am the bread, I am the truth, I am the light. But in this one, I am the good shepherd. God is incarnate in your presence. It's not far away. It's not a distant promise from long ago. I am here in your presence with that incarnational, personalized promise. He also didn't say the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep to predict his death, though he would die for his sheep, thank the good Lord. He said it to let them know, because they knew that scripture, how much he loved them. How much he personalized and brought into their midst where they could touch and feel and see the love of God that was always with them, but somehow was hard to see on their own and hard to hear with their ears plugged with the worldly things. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd right here in your midst. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's why he'd healed the blind man. That's all they needed to know, was that he brought a healing love which could not be stopped, and he would heal and enfold and bind up wounds and strengthen. All who heard it that day had at least the right vision of a shepherd in mind. They were Easterners. They knew how Eastern shepherds manage. We Westerners sometimes hear the image of Jesus as a shepherd, and we have in mind something from out west if we've seen movies or whatever we might have seen, where the sheep are rounded up by barking, nipping little dogs who herd from behind. The shepherd is behind, the dogs are behind, and they push and they coerce, and it's a bit of a scene of frenzy. It's not at all like Eastern shepherds. You may already know this, but I always love remembering that an Eastern shepherd goes in front of his flock and he calls them. He calls them to come with him. It's invitational, not coercion. It's this invitation of love to come and let me give you life. Come with me now. I'm right here in your midst. Come with what I'll show you. Let me lead you. Let me take you into this beautiful place. Extremely personal. Calling the sheep by name. Come on, Joey. Come on. Come on. It's this way. Come on. Come on. This is the way. I love the image. And I love the image of his constant care. No days off for a shepherd. Sleeping with the flock at night, either guarding the cave that he may have put them in for safekeeping in the night, or a pen made of thorny branches. But in either case, he was the gate. He slept at the gate. No one could harm those sheep. So great was his loving care for them. Daily anointing them with oil. That staff he used so that when they came out of the pen every morning, he could check their ears, their nose, and put the bug ointment on that they all needed, that oil, and to be sure that they were strong and sturdy, lest he need to carry them, perhaps. every day checking every little crease and cranny, sacrificial love in every way. What reminded me so much of this part of what a shepherd does is that we have a new grandbaby in our family, and I've just been watching our daughter-in-law give sacrificial love to her baby. There's nothing quite like it, is there? This was a very determined and successful professional woman, career girl. She said, I don't know if I'm going to know what to do with a baby. Oh, yes, she did. The minute she saw that baby, this sacrificial love pouring out of every pore, no sleep, as far as I can tell, that girl's had no sleep for a month, and certainly no, that's as old as the baby is, and certainly no days off without counting the cost. And what I loved as I watched her hold the baby early on when I was up there was unfolding the little creases in all those many necks. We have a little fat grandbaby. And seeing where there was a little bit of red, putting a little powder in there, and a little bit over here, and all the little wrinkles and all the creases and those chubby arms. And I realized how thoroughly she knows that baby. Fully loved, fully known, and fully loved. That's the way the shepherd in the Eastern system treats his flock. And those who heard Jesus understood that. They knew what a good shepherd was. They also knew the qualities of sheep. And they had long ago given up resisting that similarity for themselves. Do you know that in the Bible there are 400 times when we are told that we are sheep? We are the sheep of his pasture. It's all throughout Scripture. They knew that they were most like, more like sheep than any other animals, but they hadn't resisted it the way we do. They had understood themselves to be defenseless in the world, as sheep are. They had even understood themselves to be rather foolish like sheep. You know that sheep nibble their way into lostness all the time. And even when they see the flock on the other side of the pasture, they can't get back until the shepherd brings them. You know that sheep are terrible creatures of habit. Left to their own devices, they'll go the same trail every day until it's a gully, unless they have a shepherd to show them other trails. You may also know that sheep overgraze like crazy. I identify with that. They eat so much grass that if they're not shepherded properly, they eat the roots and eventually then starve. You may also know that sheep have this terrible proclivity to fall over and not be able to get up. They land on their back with their four legs up in the air, flailing, and they cannot right themselves. Nor can the other sheep. It needs a shepherd. These good folks who were listening to Jesus understood that they, like the sheep, were desperately in need of a shepherd. Desperately in need. The one good thing about sheep, which I think they understood also, was that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. The sheep can't do much for themselves, but they know the shepherd and they trust the shepherd. And where the shepherd leads is where they want to go. Now, we in our culture have a little problem with this tremendous dependency model. We're a nation that prizes independence, that prizes self-reliance, right? That prizes personal achievement. And there's nothing wrong with self-reliance and personal achievement. In many places, that's what's needed. But what about the inner person? What about the inner person in all of us that have habits that control us to our peril? What about the inner part of us that has yearnings and longings that neither we nor anyone else nor anything can ever satisfy, like the longing to be fully known and yet fully loved. No need for pretense, no need for images. A deep longing. What would we do with that without our great shepherd? What about our innate need to be forgiven? The weight of shame and guilt. It's very heavy to haul around. And it's heaviness, you know, that makes those, when they get weighted down with muck and even with weight, that's what makes the sheep fall over and be unable to get up. We understand that we're vulnerable to that too. Who but him would forgive us? Who but him would go to the cross to right us, to set us free? And what about that old fear of abandonment? Who but he would be with us always? And then, of course, there's our helplessness in the face of death. Who goes there with us? Who leads us to that green pasture but him on whom we are totally dependent? The listeners knew that they desperately needed the shepherd. And over time, we get to know it and love it as well. But there's one last thing that the original audience would have known as they listened to Jesus, as he said, "I am the good shepherd." They would have known Ezekiel 34. They wouldn't have had to look it up the way we did. They wouldn't be as biblically illiterate as we are as modern Christians. They would have known not only the verse 16 and forward where God is saying, "I will be your good shepherd," but they would have known the first part of the chapter where God is scolding them because they have not been the shepherds that he asked them to be. He says, "Woe to you, shepherds," and by that he means all the leaders, those of any influence at all. "You have eaten the curds of Israel yourselves. You've clothed yourselves in wool and slaughtered the choice animals all for yourselves. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured or searched for the lost. You've cared for yourselves rather than my flock." The original listeners knew every page of the Old Testament. And the implicit and explicit theme that ran through the entire scripture, which was that everything we had been given by God, we were to turn around and give away, and that life was to be found in the giving, not the taking. To take and to hoard the gifts of God as these leaders had done, to become self-centered and self-preoccupied, grieved God's heart. And those who heard him, Jesus, that day knew that grief. They wanted to be blessed in order to be a blessing. They wanted to be fully loved in order to turn around and to be full lovers of others. Not to take and to hoard, but to give away. I don't know if you've read a contemporary bestseller called A Culture of Takers by Nicholas Eberstadt. Or maybe the book that it replaced on the bestseller list, the book of a couple years ago, called The Narcissism Epidemic by Campbell. Those sociologists give us a very sad look at our culture. And not in the words of God, not pretending to have the words of God, but in the words of examiners of the culture say, "Beware. Beware of doing things for yourselves, culture. It will only lead to misery." Jesus called them back when he saw them that day, back to the original intent, to become under-shepherds for the great shepherd. Never to just follow the great shepherd, but to follow the great shepherd's instructions to become shepherds. To become shepherds and to bind up the weak and to strengthen those who were in need. It was not just a call to the clergy of that day, nor of our day. It wasn't to missionaries like Dr. Prothero. It was to all God's people to care for tenderly and without a day off, all God's people. That's us. the under-shepherds caring for one another with that same tender care that observes the need, observes the places of weakness, and brings God's love into that place. That's all of us. Back to our son now. His takeaway from that great summer was not just the great privilege of serving under Dr. Prothero. It was the sacrificial love that he recognized in the pizza. It was sacrificial love. That's what we're called to give away. Sacrificial love changes people, right? It always has, it always will. But we can't give it away until it changes us. The closer one gets to the great shepherd Jesus, the more contagious or spontaneous it becomes, and the more we sense the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to do that life of love. None of us had perfect mothers to show us that, and none of us are perfect mothers because, in fact, we're all still sheep. But we, the sheep, are called nevertheless to be his under-shepherds, to give away his love again and again and again and again and again. And so the text leaves us with two big questions, I think. See what you think. If, in fact, the unique gift that we've been given, even though we're as foolish often as sheep, if the great gift we've been given is that we can recognize and trust the shepherd's voice, then the big question is, do we know the shepherd's voice? Do you know that voice personally? Have you heard it spoken to you? It's a beautiful voice, and it has your name on it. Do you know that voice? Because the shepherd does know yours. The shepherd knows your every cry. The ones that nobody around you ever hears, he knows and he hears. And that's the one he goes to. Just like a mother knows her baby's cry, no matter where that baby is or how many years. I know my baby's cry, and she's almost 50. I can tell it across the room, a laugh in a crowded room. I know that voice. He knows your voice just like that. Years ago in our little country church, wow, not even quite the size of this, the windows were open. It was Connecticut. It was summer, no air conditioning. And right across the driveway was the nursery in the old horse shed where the horses used to be kept. It was a very old church, now turned into a nursery and Sunday school rooms. Their windows were up too, and in the middle of worship, one baby starts howling. And in all of our worshipers, one mother got up and ran to the nursery. Everybody else sat still. A mother knows her baby's sound, and Jesus knows yours. Every sound you make, even as I said, the ones that are inside. He knows yours, and he designed you to know his. If we don't know his voice, it can be very difficult to follow him and very difficult to feel the love because it seems so far away, just as it did to those earlier Jews. It's hard in these days of overactivity to find time, to make time to read his word. That's where we hear his voice over and over. To listen to him in prayer, to spend time with him. And it's difficult sometimes when our past voices of authority don't sound like a tender, strong shepherd at all. But in fact, Jesus said, this is extremely personal, and it's to you that I speak, and that's why I call you by name. In my sight, you are fully known. You are fully loved. And when you follow me, you'll find that I take you far away from the bad habits that control you, far away from all your instincts to overgraze, all your trapped thinking that diminishes you. Follow me. hear my voice and follow me. I want to know that voice. And I think you do, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I want to know it above all others, above the clamor. So that's the first question. Do we really know that, or need we to listen more? And secondly, if we have heard that voice, have we ever imagined, have you imagined, that someone else might hear the sound of the voice of the great shepherd through yours? That something you do or say for someone might allow that person to hear for the first time the great shepherd, the great voice of unconditional sacrificial love, spoken personally to that person because you're the one on the spot, on site with them. It's love coming through one very close that might be the voice that leads them to the real shepherd, because you're the under-shepherd who, like the master, seeks out the lost and binds up the broken and gives strength to the weak. Because as it turns out, of course, whether or not we like the title, we're all people on mission. We don't have to be called missionaries if that doesn't seem to suit. But we are. We've been given a holy mission, every one of us. The broken and the injured and the lost and the hurt and the weak people are all around us. They're around you in your pews right now. They're down the blocks in the inner city. They're in your family. And they're the ones to whom we are sent, to love as a shepherd and to offer God's love in the endless ways that you can think of. And who knows, it could even happen with a pizza. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in saying the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary.
Amen.
For our sake and crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come again and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. We remember especially Gary Collins and Vivian Alexander. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially the victims of violence in our own community, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, the Central African Republic, and schoolgirls who have been abducted in Nigeria. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life, especially our mothers. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Risen Christ.
Our good shepherd, we thank you for calling every one of us by his name, because you know us and you love us. And we ask you, Lord, to lead us during this life to do your will, so that we will be with you in the eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning. Do we have any visitors with us this morning? If you do, please raise your hand. We have a goodie bag for you, so please keep your hand up. Okay. We want to thank Neely Tao for being our guest preacher this morning. As she explained, Dean Kate is in Portland teaching and preaching and promoting her book. And just to mention that we're not even halfway through the season of Easter, so I hope you are continuing to celebrate. And you can still purchase her book, Resurrecting Easter, in the bookstore for $12. We want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms out there. I hope that you all received a flower as you came in. Tonight at 5 p.m., there will be a special brass and organ concert held here in the cathedral, and your bulletin has more details. Our next Family Promise Week is the week of May 25th, and if you'd like to volunteer to gather supplies for Family Promise, please contact Teresa Johnson in the office. Discovery Weekend is May 30th through June 1st, and it's open to everyone. You can get a brochure from the information table outside of Tolliver. I really encourage you all to sign up. This is a wonderful opportunity to get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ here at the cathedral. Support our cathedral choir by attending their Pilgrimage Anthem concert Sunday, June 1st here at the cathedral. Ticket sales will go towards their pilgrimage to England this summer, and your bulletin has more details. If you're interested in being confirmed at Pentecost, which is June 8th, or baptized on Trinity Sunday, which is the following Sunday, June 15th, please contact Sue Ingeman. She's in the back of the church, or you could get her in the office. And finally, our summer service schedule will begin June 15th, with services at 8 and 10:30, breakfast at 9, and classes at 9:30. And we need volunteers to make breakfast during the summer, so if you'd like to put together a group of people and sign up, there's a sign-up sheet on in the easel in Tolliver Hall, and we would just appreciate it. Father Raja, would you do our offertory sentence?
Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oops.
when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you opened the way for us to eternal life. He calls us by name and leads us as shepherd leads his sheep. He is the gate of abundant life. To his voice is our salvation. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be our Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, And we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and in the fullness of time, put all things into subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God to you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Now please share with me in sending our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those whom you may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many, we are one body, because we all share. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of and heirs of the eternal kingdom. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the love and knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God the Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be and remain with you, now and forevermore. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the world, following the voice of the Good Shepherd.